Is everyone sort of nearly through the colds and headaches and sore throats and all the things that have been around? I have just developed the headache about an hour ago, but it's okay because I'm hydrated. Yes. I've had coffee. Not so good, but yes. I've had paracetamol about 10 minutes ago. Yes. So it won't be long and I'll be back. But Nikki and I have just come back from 9 incredible days in Orkney. It's why we weren't around last weekend. As Claire said, we are part of a wider network called Skylark International, and that church, Life Church in Orkney, they invited us up, and we thought, well, if we're going that far, we may as well go for a bit of a longer period of time and meet more people in the church, and my goodness, did they take advantage of that. We spoke in the morning service, then we had a whole church Q&A session for a couple of hours after that, followed by leadership teams with all the directors. We met with their vision team. We did a men's breakfast, a women's evening event. We met with lots of people in couples and individuals, and it was a brilliant time, actually. It surpassed all of our expectations. It is a wonderful thing what God is doing with our network. You see, you may not even realize, it may not be right at the forefront of your mind that this church is part of something bigger than itself, but it's so important that it is, that we aren't just an island doing our own thing, but actually we're connected with loads of other places. And as we go around and we share the vision that God has given to us, people are catching the vision. And one of their team said to us, it's like you've just, this vision, you've just put a dot on the horizon, and the horizon in Orkney is beautiful wherever you go. It's like you just put a dot on the horizon and we're all now moving towards it. And some of us are over there, some of us are over here, some are closer, some are further away. But we're all now moving towards this vision point. And as one of the side effects of us moving towards the vision is we all move closer towards each other as well. And they're really believing that we are going to have greater levels of connectivity in the network. So they send their love. John and Rach and the team are doing a brilliant thing up there. And we need to really get the island of Orkney and the surrounding islands on our heart and be praying for them, just as I know they pray for us. They really do, and they love us, and that relationship is only going to increase moving forward. It's tough getting people from Orkney to here, but they so regularly come to our conferences, and they get connected wherever they can, and it's so important that we get connected back in the other direction. So if God puts that on your heart, maybe there's an opportunity for you to go and sow some of your gifting into the life of the church in Orkney for a period of time, short, long, who knows. Then let's be a church who are really connected. They love the fact that Lindsay and Karen, Lindsay, our kids pastor, and Karen, who heads up the kids work in Billericay, have set up an online forum for all of the kids workers across the network. So we're able to share ideas, to pray for each other, to encourage each other, to share resources, because here we've managed to write our own kids church curriculum. And so other churches will be able to use that stuff and share what they're doing. It's going to be amazing, and they're so excited about connecting at that level. And once we've pioneered that, then we're hoping to connect youth groups across all of the churches and connect men's groups and women's groups and share ideas and pray for each other and get connected, not just at the senior leader level, but all throughout the church. So we're really excited about what God is doing. We're also very excited that when we walked out of our accommodation, actually when we opened our bedroom window, we heard a skylark singing. And we walked out onto this bit of grass just outside our door and looked up, and there was a skylark singing. And it was so incredible to remember. The skylarks have been away for the winter, and the day we arrived, one of the guys in the church, his friend put a Facebook status up that said, "The sound of the skylark has returned to Orkney today. We've heard our first skylark of the season," and that was really encouraging to us that happened on that day. Yes, come on. Anyway, that's not that. This is that. We are halfway through our theme at the moment of deeper. Remember, we're doing closer, deeper, further. I haven't had the chance to listen to Matt's message. I've heard it was very good last week, and I will be listening to that. Now, most of you will know, some of you may not, that when it comes to words and lyrics, Nikki is the brains behind the two of us. You have no idea I was going to say that, did you? No. I should have run it past you. If you were Aria, I would have done, but I didn't. That is why the 12 vision statements on the wall look so beautiful. God downloaded it to us. Nikki crafted the words. I was thinking actually about Moses with the Ten Commandments. If it had been Nikki up there, I wonder how many tablets of stone would be needed. Do not kill. Okay. Yeah. Nikki might have put it a few more words than that. But She's the reason why the 12 vision statements are so beautiful. She's the reason why our songs that we've written have great lyrics, and every Christmas we have the songs that we sing from the charts that have been rewritten. She's the reason why that you have an opening short message in your newsletter every couple of months. I don't know how many of you read those. I'm not going to shame you by asking you to put your hands in the air. I know that before Nikki was writing them, I didn't read them, so yeah, there you go. But anyway, this was my first one, by the way. The one that is in this newsletter is my first ever go at doing one. And I actually quite enjoyed doing it. And having done it, I think it's something that I need to speak into. For those of you, just the couple of you who didn't read it in your news sheet, I'm going to read that to you, okay? So let the guilt just wash away. Okay, so just imagine yourself. Here we are. I'm just going to come in a little way down. Nikki and I have been fortunate enough to visit the Red Sea beaches of Egypt and experience the sun, the sea, the smells. And on one such holiday, we had our first ever opportunity to go snorkeling. There are a few different ways to enjoy the beauty of the underwater world. There are those who like to stay perfectly dry on the jetty and look into the water from above. Perhaps scared off by early memories of Jaws, they're not going to get into the water, but they may still enjoy seeing the odd flash of colour and try to guess the name of the fish. They may see all kinds of creatures, but always through a shimmering and distorted lens and always from a distance. Then there are the shallow water, and I mean the knee-deep snorkelers. These people go a few metres into the water and then suddenly lie down as if they've got tasered. With their hands dragging them along the sand, they try to get up close and personal with occasional inquisitive fish. They may find some coral and other marine life, but they miss out because of their desire to be near the shore. The next group are those who walk to the end of the jetty, put on goggles, snorkels and fins, and they awkwardly descend a few steps and then plop straight off the edge into the deep water. These people then, it's a good word, plop, isn't it? These people then swim off, generally quite close to the surface, to experience some of the true beauty of the reef. Fabulous colour, movement and texture, and this was the arena that I found myself in. And then there's the final group. Those for whom snorkeling is just entry-level fun. These are the paddy-qualified open-water divers. They have the gear. They go out daily. They came to this hotel because of the diving. They swim deeper, further and closer than I ever will. Yes, I am of the Jaws generation too. They experience a whole new world up close and personal. They see the deep-water snorkelers. They see things the deep-water snorkelers will never see, not to mention those shallow snorkelers or the jetty watchers. As we go deeper this month, where do you want to go in your relationship with Jesus? Jetty, shallow snorkeling, deep snorkeling. The challenge is for us all to go for it. Diving deep into it, diving deep to experience a brand new world. Are you up for it? Let's go. So that was my blurb for, we call it the blurb, lovingly named. That was my blurb for this last couple of months. And I haven't read it to you because I think it's great, but I can't get its very simple message out of my head. And I think it's something for us to explore today. And I also wanted to just admit to you guys, as an aside, as I was just writing this, that I can do it. I can write the blurb, but it's been easier for me to hide behind Nikki. I just want you to think about that in your own context. Where are there things where you could do it, but you hide behind somebody else's gift that may be a little bit stronger than yours? See, that hiding has led me to change my language over the last 6 years from I don't really want to do it, why don't you do it, to you're better at it, to I can't do it. And I've said for a couple of years, I can't do the blurb, I can't do it. I'm no good with that stuff, you write it. Because I hid, and gradually my language changed until I got to a point of I can't do that stuff. And maybe there's many of us who are hiding. We're hiding our gift because other people are better at it. And as we journey in the hiding place, we find that we just say, I can't do it. I can't do it. And we start to believe that about ourselves. I was under pressure. I had to do it. I got on with it and did it. And I can. And so should you. Circumstances forced me, and it would have been better if I'd made a decision to do it. So there's a challenge for you right at the start. Don't hide behind other people's gifts. Applaud their gifting. That's great. But make sure you're using yours too. Okay, what does going deeper with God actually mean? Let's think, one of the ways I thought to think about this was with friendships in our day and age. Different friendships, and I picked on one in particular. I won't mention it for the audio, and we're not being filmed. We got that one over there. That's just a social media friendship. See, our friendships range from hundreds or even thousands of superficial friends. They may be followers on social media sites, Instagram, chat, Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook, wherever it happens to be. We can have lots and lots of superficial, really sort of shallow level friendships. And then we can have acquaintances and slightly less superficial friends, maybe at work, those friends by the school gate, maybe the person you live next door to. And then we have slightly deeper friendships with a smaller number of people. The numbers starting to shrink down now, and the friendships getting a bit deeper. And then we end up with these really deep relationships that we may have with a handful of people who are committed to us and we're committed to them in and out of season. While I was writing that, I was going to put church friends in there somewhere. And then I was challenged. Where are your church family relationships on that? Now that's a challenge to me. Because I wanted to say they're in the deeper level. You know, everyone in church is kind of in deeper, the middle of the deepers. And then we've got a few who are, you know, the really deep relationships. But I would imagine that many of us relationships with people in this room are in the superficial level. And our challenge with our friendships, because we are family here, is to push that to the next level. Wherever your level of friendships are, let's try and push it to the next level. Let's invest in friendships. We don't want our relationships here to be shallow, like virtual ones online, where we never meet up, we never spend any time together. We need to learn to love each other. We've come a long way, actually. As a church family, we've come a long way, but we still have a very long way to go, and we are growing. And so many of us who were here a couple of years ago may think, yep, I've got that. I'm feeling in deeper relationship with people in this church. People who are walking through the doors, they can't be in deep relationship yet. So let's be those who invite in, who aren't little shut-off groups. You can't come to us. We've already got six. We're not interested in more in our friendship group. We've got to be open. We've got to learn to love better than we currently do. And that isn't aimed at anybody or any situation. That is just how it is. And we need to do it so that we could actually put our friendships with people in the church and our church family at that end of the diagram. So how's your relationship with God going? Are you at the jetty? Are you looking in and seeing people on faith adventures and thinking, well, it all looks very interesting. It's not really for me. You might be saying, I don't want anything to do with it, all the way up to, I'm quite interested, but I don't know what to do. How do I start? Many people in this room will be in a jetty position with Jesus. He wants us to go deeper. He wants us to dive in. Are you shallow in your relationship with Jesus? And I don't mean that in the negative connotation that it can be meant, okay? Are you in the shallows? Are you ankle deep? Do you paddle in your relationship with Jesus? But you don't want to go any deeper than that. That's where you are. Or you'd like to go deeper, but you don't know what to do about it. Where do you find yourself this morning? Are you knee deep? Are you a knee-deep snorkeler? You've got the mask on, you've got the pipe on, you're on your knees going through the shallows, sticking your face in. You don't really like it in there. You don't like your face underwater, but you have a go. And all you can see really is the sand you've churned up. There's not actually much to see in that area, but you're trying. Do you want to go deeper today? Are you a deep snorkeler? Do you plop off the end of the thing? Are you actually going for it? But if you're like me, snorkeling, here's the reef, here's the deep water. I spend more time looking here. And I have planned, and someone told me, this was not even going to be true, they were trying to make me feel good, that sharks don't like the coral reef. So when the shark does come, obviously the great white shark, when the great white shark, who doesn't even live around here, comes knocking because he saw me and he smelt me, I'm just going to go straight over the top of the coral and he won't be interested. That's probably absolute rubbish. He'll probably come and grab me by the legs and pull me back out. But I am always looking in the deep water. I think, that is beautiful over there. Is there a shark coming? Is that a shadow? What is that? As a turtle swims past me, a turtle did swim past me. Can you believe it? And someone was like, you just missed the turtle. So we're like swimming after this turtle, and we did catch up with him. But I spend so long fearfully looking out into the depths to wonder what's coming. I miss what God has got for me. I'm a bit of a deep snorkeler. God is asking me to go deeper in my relationship with him. Are you a deep sea diver with God? Are you fully immersed? Are you into your relationship with him? It means the world to you. You're sowing into it. You can still go deeper. There are still more things for us to explore. Wherever we find ourselves today, our dad in heaven is saying to us, come deeper. Come deeper than you currently are. And if you don't know Jesus today, I really want to invite you that at the end of my message this morning, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond. Not a public one. You don't have to do anything publicly. But if Holy Spirit is talking to you now, and you're getting like sweaty palms, or your heart rate might be going up, and you're thinking, man, I know you're looking at me. That's not me. That could well be God. And today may be your day to enter into the gracious adventure of your life. Something else has been on my mind, apart from my blurb, for the last couple of weeks, and that is a delirious song. Now, some people, I am 45, I know, I remember Delirious. Some of you younger people will be like, I don't know what that is. Some of you older people may, unfortunately, may not know what that is. Sorry about that. But Delirious, or Delirio 5, the way they wrote their name, they wrote a song called Deeper. And they had a lyric in it which said, I want to go deeper, but I don't know how to swim. And that line has been on my mind for ages, and I thought, well, it's not fair to have it just for me. Let's let you have that too. Oh, yeah. They are young, yeah, they are, yeah. There you go, I had to stop it because I didn't know where to fade it. I want to be meeker, but have you seen my frilly shirt? Jesus. Yeah, that is Delirious. I want to go deeper, but I don't know how to swim. And you see, it's all well and good to say go deeper in your relationship with God, but there's a big how that I think many of us have associated with that. How do I go deeper? How do I do that? And I think that this message, the heart of the Father, is that he wants to show us how to do it. And I've taught people to swim. And so I've looked at this passage, because I was a PE teacher, I had to do that sort of training. And I looked at this passage, maybe I could do it with making analogies from floats and shallow end to deep end, and, you know, supporting each other, facing the water, blowing bubbles, all that stuff. I've even researched deep sea diving apparatus and tried to draw parallels from oxygen tanks, masks, buddy lines, all sorts of things. Nikki imagined me at one stage, we could fill the baptistry and I could come out in a, you know, wetsuit or something, and give the message over there. That would have been fun. Don't dwell on it for too long. Don't imagine it. But I think that it's going to be a bit more straightforward than that today, because in all of us, wherever we find ourselves on this, there is one thing that's going to enable us all to go deeper. One thing that trumps kind of everything else. And that is this. Trump, yeah. This, relinquishing control. We love to have control in our lives. We love being in control. Control is often seen as a really negative thing, but there are times when it's really, really vital. The seatbelt that holds me into my car is really vital, and it's controlling, but it's important. So not all things that would control us, maybe to keep us safe, are a bad thing. But we all want to control our lives just a little bit too much, even those who love the deep sea snorkeling, the deep sea diving adventure with God. We like control over little things like the remote control. Oh my goodness, see? You see what just happened? Just the remote control gives you a little, oh gosh, yes. We like control of our money, definitely. We like control of our future, our children. I've realized, I did loads of adventurous stuff. My dad was like, let's just go running down Westcliff cliffs, you know, the seafront cliffs. And we'd play at dusk. He would take us down there, a group of us, and we would all just play runouts and be chasing each other like crazy things. And if someone was chasing me, my dad sort of trained me, if there's a hedge there, jump it. So we would just run and just jump over this hedge. And as you look, it's dropped down like 12 feet. You're like, ah, in the air, you'd land and roll down the hill, jump up, keep going. People were twisting their ankles. There were all sorts of injuries. Health and safety didn't exist. It was great fun. And I thought, oh, yeah, that's what I'm going to be like as a dad. No doubt. Ari will be running on the top of walls and everything. You should see what happens to me when Ari walks up these steps. Sorry, I am listening, but I'm, oh, gosh. Ari, don't do it. Don't do it. She's like, Daddy, I'm going to jump. I'm going to jump. Don't do it, Ari. Come down two steps. No, that's still too much. What if your foot gets stuck? No, come here. I am Terrible. We were down the high street just a couple of weeks ago, and she was running along next to me. I'm just walk, Ari, walk in case you trip over. The floor's a bit uneven. She's like, no, Daddy, I want to run. I'm like, okay, run. She ran, bang, face planted, smacked her head, big egg. We're sitting in M&S, bag of peas on. I'm like, what sort of dad am I? I got to stop that. I knew I could. You know, it's very tricky. It's very tricky to get the balance from releasing her to... You know, even when we were just in Orkney, and there was a path with a gradient of about this. But because it was on grass, it had like a wire mesh netting all over it so you didn't slip. And she wanted to run down it, and it wasn't steep incline, and I am jogging behind her praying in tongues. I'm like, Lord, I am so worried that she's going to fall over. Then she's like putting one hand in her pocket. Hands out! You can never run with your hands in your pockets! I mean, I'm just... So... Control over children, I didn't think. Well, it's control over children's safety. But I'm controlling that. And I know in my journey I need to just release her to smack her head a few more times. In the best way, if you're listening online, you can see the pain in my face. But I need to allow her to do that. My dad didn't stop me banging my head. He didn't stop me twisting my ankle. He didn't, you know, he'd look at us and say, it's all going to end in tears, and then watch while it happened. But he allowed us. He allowed us to do our own... To do our own risk analysis. And now I'm grown up, I know how to do my own risk analysis. If I always do RS for her, she's not going to be able to do it. Anyway, that's just small. But we like to control our children. We like to control our decisions. We like to control our safety. There are things we'd like to control. The weather, quite often we'd like to control that on certain days. I would love to control the traffic lights by kegs when you're coming down Broomfield Avenue. Oh, sit there forever. It's so annoying. I would like to control those lights in particular. But there are things that we control, we'd like to control, and things that we do really tightly control in our lives. And I found this amazing quote. People wish to learn to swim and at the same time keep one foot on the ground. That's heavy, isn't it, really? It's a great one. Because I think it will probably challenge all of us. We want to go deeper with God, but we'd like to keep one foot on the ground. We'd like to get out of our depth with him, but we also want to keep a bit of control. Because what might it look like if we completely go wild out of our depth? And we can't do anything about it when we're out of our depth. We can't find the floor. Have you ever been swimming and you don't think that you're out of your depth? And you just go to put your foot down and you are. It is a really weird, horrible for me, a panicky situation. But, oh, where is it? So I'm like, down I go. It's right down there. Up I come. Or if I can't find it, it's even worse. But especially in the sea, because of jaws, anything that touches me, a bit of seaweed, it's a shark. I think it's probably the scariest film I watched at the earliest age, and it's just imprinted. Dun, 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 dun. But you see, when you can't touch the bottom, it can lead to panic because we don't like the out-of-control feeling. I remember training as a PE teacher and doing a residential week in Wales, and we were doing outdoor adventurous activities. For Val, that is outdoor adventurous activities. And one day we went potholing, not something I really wanted to do. And I remember walking into the cave, chatting away, and gradually the size of the cave diminished, as did the light-hearted banter and the chat as we're all looking and seeing where we're going. And when we were squeezing into tight spaces, it was pretty grim. And my name at uni was Adrenaline Pete. So my rugby shirt just had adrenaline on the back because they thought I was up for everything. It's like, come on, he'll do it. So they pushed me first, like, go on, Adrenaline. I'm like, yes, come on, let's go. So I'm going into this darkness, and this isn't me, but it was this sort of space. Sorry if you can't look at that, if that's a real, like, I'll just listen, but I don't really want to listen. I'll be quick, okay? But I was frightened going into that space because gradually it was getting less and less. And you're going in and you realize you can't turn around anymore, you can't turn back, you just got to keep going, and you know that your back is being pushed a bit by what's above you. It was really tough. And then later in that cave, we got through, and I think I've told you before, we're in darkness, and then we walked, and the guide said to us, stop here. Can you hear that water? We're like, yeah. He said, this is the part where you need to abseil. You're going to go, it's pitch black, so there's an edge there. You're going to abseil down. It was pitch. You couldn't see your hand at all. You're going to abseil down here. So he put his torch on his light, clapped us on, Adrenaline Pete comes to the front, like, oh my goodness, I am not an abseiler, what do I do? And they're like, lean back. Like, ah! And we all abseiled to the bottom, and it was a very exciting time. And if you didn't get to do that in your PE teacher training, I am sorry for you. You went to the wrong place. Sorry. But but it was scary to not be in control in those situations. It was scary to not know what was happening and the walls were getting smaller. It was scary again to relinquish control to a very thin line that was attached to me and a confident instructor. But I had to do that. How do we give God control? How do we live in the depths, having the faith adventure that we were designed for, rather than being an onlooker, a paddler, or a shallows person? I remember as well when doing life-saving training, that when people come to you, if you go out to rescue somebody, there's a good chance they will try to drown you in their attempt to be safe. So they will clamber on you and push you down because they just need their own head out of the water. And so there's all of that. And so you're instructed to go up and swim to them, talk to them from a distance and say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to come around to the back of you. I'm going to hold you. If you push me under, I'm off. You have to be really clear. And you go in the back and you have to practice it with people who try to push you under. And you're taught to dive underneath and just go down as far as you can. And in the end, they'll let go of you because they don't want to be down there underwater. And then they go up. You swim away, but you don't want two casualties instead of one. The panic that we have when we're out of our depth can lead to us to be so desperate to get back onto dry land that, and then makes us, I never want to do that again. And for some of us in the room, we may have tried to give God a bit of control. We may have tried to relinquish something to him, and it was hard. It didn't work out how we hoped it might. And we think, I never want to do that again. I just need the control. I don't like the panic. I don't like the way that makes me feel. It's okay for Pete, but it's not okay for me. Jesus is actually happy with me ankle deep. Jesus is saying, come on, come a little deeper. Don't be scared. So let's briefly look at three things that can help us to give God control, okay? And it will be brief. I couldn't find a slide about trust, surrender, and fear less, so I got the Scrabble out last night. There it is. It's our dining room table. We're going to look at trust, we're going to look at surrender, and we're going to look at fearing less. Trust, first of all, okay? We know this verse. It's a great verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. How do we go deeper with God? We learn to trust him. We trust that he is who he says he is, that we are who he says we are, but that everything in our mind isn't the thing that drives us. Because we need to be people who can trust that God has a higher way than just the way that we can think of. It's easy to say, it's much harder to do. And I thought, let's learn trust from the life of Joseph. You see, Joseph in the Old Testament, if you know the musical, you know it's in Genesis, book of Genesis. Joseph had dreams. He had hopes. He was the youngest son of many sons. And his dreams were that his brothers would bow down to him. That was the wrong order in the culture. He would have been the least, the lowest of the least. And the second dream included his mum and dad bowing down before him too. These were things that were too much for his brothers to take. They were outrageous things to say. But he believed they were from God, so he said them. And then his brothers came up with an idea to kill him, to get rid of him. But Reuben, thankfully, came up with an idea. Well, let's not kill him. Let's just throw him in a pit. And then Judah said, well, let's not just leave him there. Let's sell him. And so rather than being killed, he was sold into slavery. And he had every right to stop trusting God. God had given him a vision. God had given him a dream. He spoke it out faithfully. And yet here he was being sold into slavery. At that point, would you stop trusting God? Well, at what point would you? I'd probably stop by now. He was sold into slavery in Potiphar's house, but in there he worked hard rather than just thinking, oh, well, it was all a joke. It was all a lie. He worked hard. He gained promotion. But then he was accused of rape and he was sent to prison. He was 17 years old, most likely, when he was sold into slavery. And he was 30 years old when he got out of prison. 13 years of his life gone. 11 years and into his slavery or prison sentence, he interpreted dreams for a butler and a baker. 11 years after his hopes, his dreams, his trust had every right to go. I can't trust in God anymore. Look, I'm going to look with my own understanding. This is my situation. This is where I find myself. 11 years into that, when two people came to him and said, we've had these dreams, he was still able to work in his gifting. He was still able to operate and trust that God would give revelation. He was so faithful and he still trusted God. He was prepared to use his gift even there. To believe that the dreams he had were of God, because I can tell you what this is, your dreams are, because I know what my own dreams are. He must have been hanging on. He must have been, even if it was by a thread. He was hanging on to trust God for what God had said right back then. He gave that interpretation, and ultimately one of those interpretations would lead to a conversation that saw him released and to become the second in all of the land under Pharaoh. And one day his brothers came back, and his family came back, and they all bowed before him, just as was seen in the dream. He had this amazing ability to trust and to put his faith in God. Will we trust God when it comes to our dreams? The things that we're believing over our own life, or has enough time elapsed that we think, no, enough's enough, I'm not going to trust you for that, God? Are we going to trust God when it comes to our money? Are we going to trust God when it comes to our jobs, our kids, our plans, our hopes, our dreams? Or do we need one foot on the floor? Can we give it all to him? Can we trust him? Second thing that ties into it so closely is surrender. Because we need to surrender that foot that's on the floor. I want to go, but I like this one. This holds me nice and securely. And, you know, oh, I can bounce along in the pool. I can be deep. And God's like, go deeper, go deeper. Will you surrender? Not learning from Joseph this time, learning from Jesus. Our beautiful Jesus surrendered heaven and his majesty to be born in obscurity and danger, in a place where the animals slept. He endured becoming a refugee in a foreign land. During his ministry, he daily surrendered to the will of his Father. Daily surrender. It's not about surrendering once if God calls you to go on mission. That's great, but our lives are supposed to be surrendered to him. Daily surrender to the will of the Father. Before he was arrested, he prayed in sweat and blood, not my will, but yours be done. Deeper surrender. And then he surrendered his life for us. What will we surrender for him? Each of us. If we're standing on the jetty, just looking in, what could we surrender? If we're ankle deep, or knee deep, or waist deep, or snorkeling, or even diving deep sea, what is he asking us to surrender over to him? Do we need to relinquish control in any area of our lives that we haven't yet given to him? If we want to go deeper, then trusting him and learning what it means to surrender every day, everything to him is huge. And that's why this is a relevant message for everybody from the jetty to the deep, because we're all holding on to something. There's that line, you know, I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. You know, meatloaf. You can have the lot, Lord. You can have the lot, but you cannot have this bit. Some of us, we may not have given him anything yet, but some of us may have given him 95%. Unlikely, but we may have done. But what's the 5%? What's the bit that he's saying, just give it to me. Trust me, surrender it to me. And then this. In the Bible, it says, do not fear, many, many times. Now, some people say that there's one for every time, every day of the year. Other people have researched into that and can't find it. They can find about 150-ish. That's a lot. However it is, and if there is 365, apologies. I don't mind how many there are, but all I know is this. It's said an awful lot of times. Do not fear. Fear not. Be brave, be bold, be courageous, all those sorts of expressions. There's a reason for it, because it's tough. Things are tough, situations are tough, circumstances are tough, things in life are tough. And I'm not going to tell you, do not fear. The Bible's telling you that already, God's telling you that, your Heavenly Father's telling you, do not fear. I'm going to say to you, fear less, because you might feel that that's achievable in this coming year. Our aim in over the course of our life is to not fear. But for now, why don't we all try to fear less? There are loads of stories, loads, with all of these examples. But Exodus 14 is a brilliant one. The Exodus is taking place. The people are coming out of Israel. They have arrived at the Red Sea, and they look over their shoulder and they see Pharaoh and his chariots chasing them down. And they all start to freak out. They are grumbling. They are complaining. They're saying, wouldn't it be better to leave us there? Why'd you bring us out here? You know, we're going to die here. We should be back in Egypt. It was better in Egypt. And Moses answered the people. Exodus 14, 13 and 14. Do not be afraid. There it is. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Be still. See, the thing is that fear can paralyze us. It can paralyze us and we don't know what to do. That fear of taking the first step in the water can paralyze some people. I've taught people who learn to swim who just cannot put their face in the water. They are petrified of putting their face in the water and the water going up their nose. They can't bear that. Fear of, you know, when it comes to deep sea diving, fear of running out of oxygen is one of the biggies that stop people doing it. Because they're like, well, what if my tank is the rubbish one? My regulator doesn't work and there's not enough gas. What happens? People have fears about all sorts of things, of drowning, of sharks. And that fear in the water leads to the panic I spoke about earlier on. Yet God says, don't fear. Have courage. And I want to say to you this morning, don't fear. Have courage. Have courage. When it comes to going deeper in your relationship with God, trust him. Surrender to him daily. And do not fear. Or at least fear less than you currently do. If you want to swim, you've got to take your feet off the bottom of the pool. If you want to experience all that God has for you, then you need to get in the water. And the deeper you go, the more exciting it's going to be. We want to go deeper in our relationship with our Father this season. So we need to be a people who are prepared to go to the next level. Relinquishing control. If that one was for you, then let's learn to relinquish control in those areas the Holy Spirit has pointed out to us. If our issue is our trust, we find it hard to trust because we've been let down before by so many people who call themselves people who follow Jesus, maybe by family, friends, maybe we feel God has let us down. Let's be those who continue to trust and go deeper in our relationship. Let's be those who know what it means to surrender every day. Lord, you can have this. You can have this. You held nothing back giving your life for me. What can I give for you? And then let's learn to fear less, to trust him, jump in, think, okay, next time, I'm not going to spend my life looking for sharks. I'm not looking over here at everything that could go wrong. I'm going to enjoy what God has for me. I don't want to be someone who fears. A faith adventure in the depths awaits all of us. And our lifelong journey is to go... I'm just going to scroll fast. Our lifelong journey... Where's that gone? One more, please. Here we go. Is to move in that direction. That's all we have to do today. That's our challenge. That's the whole message. Go that way, along that image. And if you don't yet know Jesus, I would love, love, love to introduce him to you. He knows you already, but I'd love to introduce you to him. That would be my privilege and my pleasure this morning. We have an amazing prayer ministry team who will be available in just a moment to pray for anybody who just wants to cement that stuff that maybe Holy Spirit's been talking to you about this morning. And it's good to agree with people and pray together. So if you'd like to do that, please come forward at the end. And if you want to give your life to Jesus, come find me. I'll talk you through that. I'll celebrate with you and you can start that adventure off the jetty and into the water. Have a fantastic week. Look forward to seeing you soon. Take care.